Hello, this is Rob and Mike from the McClellan Financial Group, and this is Think Smart with TMFG. How are you today, Mike?
Doing good. Yeah, very good.
You were talking to me about your visit to Subway and got you thinking about taxes. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, it's funny. Taxes is a big thing. It's been coming up. It was funny, this weekend was Remembrance Day, and it was the 100th anniversary since World War One. And what else came in with World War One?
Taxes.
Income tax was first put out in Canada to pay for the debt from World War One, and so we're 100 years down the road now in Canada, right? So as you're saying, it's funny, I was at the weekend, I was up at Subway, and I went to go and have a sub. I was just out in one of the malls, and I had a Subway melt 6-inch, and I got the combo package. So all together, I looked at my total, was $11.51, and I broke it down. The sub was $7.29, and the chips were and Coke were $2.90. When I looked at my bill, I looked at the one piece which was HST, and HST on the bill was $1.32. And I thought, now that's a bit of tax, but then I started to think deeper into it. How much tax is actually involved when you buy a sub? So I want to go and break down the whole experience of what the government gets out of the sub purchase, right? So we start off with a simple one. The simple one is the HST on here, and that's, I think that was $1.32. On top of that, to buy that sub, you have to make money, right?
Absolutely.
And this is something people forget. To make that $11.51 to pay for that sub, do you know how much income you actually have to make?
I don't know, $24, $25?
$25.02, right? And believe it or not, the tax, if you're in the highest tax bracket, is $13.51 on $25 worth of income. So to start off, we're paying $13.51 worth of income tax. On top of that, when we start to look into other taxes paid, what do you think the Subway owner pays?
Well, if he's making a profit on the sub, say he's making a 20% profit on the total sale, and he's got to pay 25% tax on that.
Yeah.
If he's a small business.
Yep. And we're figuring about $2 worth of tax in there.
So that's another $2 worth of tax.
So then you go to the next leg. Do you think Subway as a company has to pay any tax also? The corporation?
The corporation has to pay tax, absolutely, because they get a piece of what the store makes.
And when I did my calculations, I figured on a sub, these are, I don't know the actual numbers, but I figure they're going to make a dollar on the whole purchase as a corporation. And they're probably paying, they're a larger corporation, they're probably a 35% tax rate, would they?
They're probably 35% tax.
And that, so that's another 35 cents tax paid. Then below that, all these ingredients and stuff have to come from different suppliers across the country, don't they?
Absolutely. Every one of them would come from probably a fairly large company that would be paying that 35 cent tax as well.
Again, then there's the suppliers. So that's a part of the cost in there, right? So then they're being, let's say the supplies cost half the price of the sub. And again, they're paying tax. So I came up with another between 50 cents a dollar worth of tax paid in there.
So if we start with the $25.02, which is what you had to earn, how much is going to tax now?
I came up with about $20.
$20 is going to tax.
So in the system, there was actually $31 in work to pay for that sub. And that's a 6-inch sub. I didn't even get a 12-inch.
Wow, that is crazy. Paying tax is, you know, it's something we have gotten used to doing in Canada. We're nearing the end of calendar year 2018. Is there anything that can be done to reduce taxes?
There are some things. I find with the tax rates as high as they are in the country, you have to take advantage of everything that's out there to reduce the taxes. I know we use some strategies with clients. What strategies have you been using?
You know, I guess I go back to the basics. Always making sure, first of all, those who aren't retired yet, making sure they're doing as much into their RSP as they possibly can and as early as they can. Taking full advantage, I think, of the tax-free savings account or the TFSA. Every year you can put a new $5,500 in there. And probably the final thing, basic strategy, would be making sure any fixed investments that someone may own are sheltered inside one of those registered accounts, be it the TFSA or their RSP.
I remember you did a lot of research on that as far as retirement success, didn't you?
Well, it was interesting. What I found was I used to do the financial planning and I would assume that each account would get roughly the same return. So, you know, your TFSA, your RSP, and your open account would each get a 6% return. And then one day it occurred to me that, but that's not really how we do things. We actually put the fixed investments inside the RSP. We tend to, you know, have the TFSA a little more aggressive, and then the open account tends to hold more of the equity, so it's also a little more aggressive. When I started to apply different rates of return to the different types of account structure, suddenly my success rate of my clients' plans went through the roof. And that was the clue to me that A, I wasn't doing the planning quite right, but B, that this whole strategy that we've been using made complete sense, that we should be putting the fixed investments inside the registered plans.
It's funny, as you hear us update how we run investments along the way, we've always kept that as a priority to make sure that we can shelter those interest income investments into the RSPs and make sure we have some capital growth outside. It just makes for a better financial plan. And that's one thing you find that most institutions don't do. The reason why, it's too difficult.
It's also sometimes not only difficult, but it's difficult to explain to your clients, why are you doing this? No one's ever happy when suddenly their RSP has a lower return than their open account. They want them all to have the same return,
yeah,
which is a good return. They don't like to see one type of account earning 3% and one earning 8%. That doesn't make sense to them. When you explain the tax side of it, it does start to make sense. So are you doing anything, given that we're late in 2018, to help your clients with their tax situation?
You know, sometimes I have, I've talked to a few clients and accountants about realizing, so we've had a rough October this year. So people who put in money in the last year or year and a half, they could have some capital losses inside their open accounts. And sometimes we can do some things to realize those capital losses. So that's been helpful. Another additional thing we've looked at is people who like to do large charitable donations. Sometimes we donate shares that actually have large capital gains to them. And we like to get that done sort of year end to clear up all the donations. And that again helps at tax time.
Do you find that your clients have trouble triggering losses? Does that go against, you know, I thought we were here to make money and now you're triggering losses for me. Why are you doing this?
Once it's explained, right, it's fine. Usually the reason is more time than anything else. And because of the time, it gives an advantage. And if we can save money in taxes, that's money in your pocket.
I find it's like if you can do it, it's like another tool in your tool chest for financial planning. If you've got some capital losses for whatever reason that you can bring back to offset gains, either this year or in the future, that's a great strategy.
Money in your pocket from the Revenue Canada is always a good idea.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, I think, you know, we've covered how much tax we pay in the country. We've come up with a few strategies on reducing your taxes. I think that's good for today.
Sounds great.
This is Rob and Mike from the McClellan Financial Group with Think Smart.
You have been listening to the McClelland Financial Group of Asante Capital Management Limited. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. Insurance products and services are provided through Asante Estate and Insurance Services Incorporated. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources, however, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the above, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances.